Yeah, what's up, everybody? How are we doing tonight? Well, hey, listen, it's good to see you guys here tonight. If you want to go ahead and grab the Bible underneath you or in front of you, and you want to turn open with me to page 1188, page 1188, that's where we're going to be for the majority of tonight. Hey, listen, I am so pumped to be with you guys tonight. This is week three of a series that we are calling Him Plus Her. And let me say from the get-go, if you guys are one of our guests tonight, first off, thanks for being with us. Secondly, you picked an interesting night to be with us, but we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're here. And let me just kind of recap where we've been really quickly in this series. So what I told you is that this is a three-week series, and each week, right, each week we have a we're going to talk about something. It's a progression of conversations. And week one, if you were with us 2 weeks ago, we talked about in middle school years that we would say the wisest place for you to be when it comes to the opposite gender, right, is that for you to focus on a friendship. Focusing on a friendship is healthy. It removes some of the pressure. It removes some of the drama, right? But we know that some of you don't listen. And that's okay. We welcome that. So then last week we talked about dating. And what we said about dating, right, is that regardless of if you've already opened that chapter of your life book or if you haven't opened it yet, maybe you're going to wait till you're in high school or college or 30 or 40, who knows, right? But what we said is that before you open that chapter, it is so important, students, that you love God more than you like the person. And that vice versa, that they love God more than they like you. And what we said was this kind of represents like the relationships in our life, right? And what we said is that God has to be at the core. Because if God is at your core and you are in love with God, in love with God's plans, in love with what God wants for you, that's going to make you a much healthier person and you're going to attract healthier people. So we talked about dating last week, and tonight we end our conversation, and what we're going to talk about tonight is God's plan and God's purpose for sex. Now, that is not to make you feel awkward or uncomfortable. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get it out there. Count of three. We're just all going to proclaim that word loudly. One, two, three. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. One time was good. Awesome. I'm glad that you guys are with me. Now, let me make tonight clear. Let me make it clear where we're going tonight. Tonight is in no way, shape, or form a sex education course. Okay? We're not going to do that. What you need to do is you need to talk with your parents about that. You need to talk with maybe an older sibling or a mentor about things like that. But what I want to do tonight is I want you to understand God's plans and God's purpose when it comes to sex. Because the reality is that God designed it and God created it to be a great thing, to be an amazing thing, at the right time in your life and in the right context. And so that's where I want to go tonight. I want to talk to you about that. And since we've got the word out there, I think that you're mature enough to stay with me. I believe that you can handle it. You're mature enough to stay with me. All right? Because here's the reality. I know that in middle school, some of you, you are talking about this kind of stuff. Some of you, at times, you are thinking about this kind of stuff, right? Because when I talk to middle school students, okay, a lot of times I get one of three questions. One, I get a question, something to do with sex. The second question is I get something to do with end times. And the third question is, will there be sex in the end times, right? Now, here's the thing. I'm not here to talk about the latter two. Stick with me. But I do want you to be able to walk out of this room with a very clear understanding of what God had in mind, of what God wants for you, of what God wants for everyone here in this room. So let me just give you the statement that I want to rally around. If you want to write this down on the top of your outline, I encourage you to do that. Sex was created by God. Sex was created by God. Sometimes we don't know that. We don't think that. We don't believe that. It's true. Sex was created by God. And sometimes we think, well, man, sex is dirty, sex is wrong, sex is bad, right? That it's not something that should happen, right? And at the end of the day, what you need to understand is that in the right context and at the right time in your life, it's not bad. It's not wrong. It's a gift. It's a gift that God created for you, created for a husband and a wife to share together. So what I want you to understand is that it is a healthy thing. And sometimes what happens is we try to draw a dotted line in areas where God has drawn a solid line. Let me tell you what I mean by that. God's plan for sex for you, for everyone in this room, is very, very clear. The scripture makes it abundantly clear. It's not gray. It's not muddy. It's not ambiguous. It's not, well, I wonder what he meant by. It's very, very clear. And let me tell you what his plan is. His rule book, if you will. Sex is for one man and one woman who are married to one another. Let me say it again. One man, one woman who are married to one another. And anything outside of the context of that is sexual sin. Anything outside of that context is treating something that God meant to be amazing, and it's taking it out of context, right? As a matter of fact, the Bible says it like this. It says, so a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, or united with his wife. In other words, be married. A man will leave his home, he will leave his father and mother, and he will be married to his wife, and then the two will become one body. A man and a woman married to each other. That's the context. Then the Bible goes on to say this in Hebrews 13. This is important. Marriage should be honored by everyone, and husbands and wives should keep their marriage pure. For God will judge as guilty those who take part in sexual sins. Here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. One man, one woman who are married to one another. That's the right context. That's the rule book. That's the plan. That's what God intended. And that's the best way for it to happen, because God is the one who created it. God is the one who created it. But here's what we know to be true. We know that the world has twisted his plan. I'd love for you to write that down. We know that the world has twisted God's plan. And I want you to think about this for a second. Everywhere that you turn, everywhere that you look, there's something to do with sex. Whether it's magazines, or TV, movies, lyrics of songs, even in cartoons. I can't even watch television without some kind of commercial coming on that deals with this. And here's what happens is that the world has twisted it in such a way that the messaging that you get, the messaging that you hear, right, are things like this. It's, do whatever you want, whenever you want, with whoever you want. It's not a big deal. It doesn't really matter. You know, sex is limitless. Behave how you want to behave. A hookup here and there is fine. It's just not a big deal. It won't affect you. Go have fun. What I want you to understand, I know that some of you in here tonight, man, you go to church a lot, you come to M12 a lot. Some of you, maybe you're a guest, some of you are maybe trying to figure out the church thing, figure out the God thing. This is what I want to do for you. I just want you to understand what the Bible has to say about such a crucial part of your life. I want you to be able to walk out knowing the truth of what God's word has to say. Because here's the thing. The messaging that the world feeds to us is a big lie. It's just a big, fat lie. None of those things are really, really true. And see, students, what happens is when we disregard the one who created something to be so amazing, what is going to happen and what will happen is it will lead you down a path into a place where you don't want to be. And it will leave you there longer than you want to stay. I really want you to hear me out tonight. I really want you to listen and think how twisted the world's messaging really is. And sometimes we just dismiss it. It's no big deal. It's funny. We joke about it. We laugh about it. But something that God holds is so sacred, so special that you should share with your husband or your wife when you are married. That's what God intended. And that's the best plan, and that's the rule book. But I know sometimes you may be thinking things like, what about a boy and a girl who really, 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 I mean, they just are madly, passionately in love with each other. Well, if they were to have sex, it would be sexual sin. Or what about a couple who's, man, they've been dating for like 5+ years, you know, and well, if they were to have sex, it would be sexual sin. What about a couple who's, man, they're in their 30s and they're engaged to be married? Well, if they have sex, it's sexual sin. What about, and let me just say this. Some of you guys have texted in some questions. And I know that some of you are dealing with this stuff. But what about two of the same gender? What about two girls or two guys? Listen. Hey, here's the reality. A lot of your friends may be dealing with that. But that's not what God intended. That would be sexual sin. God intended one man, one woman who are married to each other. And that's the only context that it was created for. Now, I want to stop and I want to say this. You may be in here tonight and you may have struggles with that. And what I want you to know is that M12, we want you to know and understand that this is a safe place. If you have struggles that you probably normally, maybe you wouldn't talk out loud to a friend about it. Maybe even your own parents. This is a safe place for you to be real. Maybe that's something that you might want to come and talk to me about. I'm happy to talk with you. Maybe you want to talk to one of your small group leaders in private or something like that. But understand that God's plan for you is one man, one woman who are married. That's God's rule book. That's what He made a solid line. It's not a dotted line, it's a solid line. And so students, anything outside of that context for you, for me, is sexual sin. So when I think about a message like this and the weightiness and the heaviness of something like this, I want to challenge you with one thing, and that is that you would fight for your purity. That you would fight for your purity. Because here's the thing. If we live in a world like we do, that carries the messages like it does, purity is not an easy thing. Purity is not just something that's just going to happen for you. Purity's going to be something that you have to fight for along with God's help. Because it's too big for us to face on our own. But purity matters and it's worth it. It's not easy, but it is worth it. And I want to read a passage of scripture if you're with me. 1188, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. We're just going to break it down really quickly. It says this, It is God's will. Let me stop there. In other words, it is God's purpose. It is God's plan. It is God's purpose and plan and will that you should be sanctified. What is the word sanctified? It means set apart. It means holy. It means a different viewing or a different opinion than maybe the world's standards in your life, right? It says that God's will for you is to be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. That you should avoid sexual immorality. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, sex before marriage should be avoided. Pornography should be avoided. Looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at should be avoided. Because remember what I said. These types of things will take you to a place that you don't want to be, and they'll leave you there longer than you want to stay. They'll take you to a place that you don't want to be, and they'll leave you there longer than you want to stay. Sexual immorality, doing things, crossing boundaries, crossing lines that you know you should not cross. So he says, avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like pagans who do not know God. Now, I want to talk to two different people in the room really briefly. There may be some of you in the room tonight, and you would say, you know what? I have messed up. I have done things that I'm not proud of. I've crossed lines that I didn't want to cross. And you ask questions like, well, does God love me? Does God forgive me? Does God still like me? Right? Is it okay what I did? And let me be clear. It's not okay. Because sexual morality is something that God wants you to stay away from, right? But yes, God does forgive you. And yes, God does love you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it like this. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us that nothing separates us, you and me, from God's love. It doesn't matter what we've done, the mistakes we've made, the failures we've made, that nothing can separate us from God's love, right? And then it says this. It says, if you will confess your sin to God, then he is faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins and to cleanse you of unrighteousness. Here's what I'm saying to you. Maybe tonight you would say, man, I have crossed some lines that I shouldn't have crossed. And I've done things I shouldn't do. And you're going to have a chance to privately talk about these things with whatever you feel comfortable sharing with your small group. But maybe for you tonight, you just need to get alone with God and you need to have a conversation with God. And you need to say, God, I'm sorry. You know, I want to make better decisions. Because what the Bible says is that he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And some of you in here tonight, I want to read the next part of the verse. It says this. It says, and in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or a sister. For the Lord will punish all of those who commit such sins. Some of you are here tonight, and the honest truth is that in some way, shape, or form, you have been taken advantage of. Someone has done something to you against your will. And what I want you to know is, one, I'm really sorry if that has happened to you. I wish there was something that I could say or do that would take away pain like that. But what I know to be true is I know that God has power to heal you. And God has power to take away those things. So this is what I want to do. I want everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. I want to pray over those two people really quickly. So God, that's what we want to do. I want to pray for anyone in here who would say, you know what, I have made mistakes. Mistakes that I'm not proud of. And God, I pray that for that student that feels that way, that they would understand that they don't have to live in bondage or in guilt, but they can walk out of this room and live in the freedom that you've provided through Jesus. And God, for the second person, maybe there's a person in here that at some time they have been taken advantage of against their own will. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would begin to bring healing and comfort and peace to that student. And that you would give them the courage and the boldness to maybe even talk with someone about it. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.